Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Lorenzen.
That would be a little weird.
No word if it's named after the hefty lefty, but I like to think that it is. Salute. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Got you know, college football is on the television this weekend, guys. So I hope that you're cooking out and enjoying college football. It's that time of year. It's the best time of year to be grilling. Grill up some beef this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for, perhaps with a certain logo on it that we're going to talk about in just a minute. Perhaps. They've got it all at College Corner. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town. Always at Restaurant Tyler. Guys, if you are going to be in Starkville for lunch and you are a person like me that loves a blue plate, the Southern staple, the best one in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Selection of meats and veggies that can't be beat. Cornbread that even Brian Haydad is willing to say, not only do I eat it, it's good. It's good. I enjoy it. It tastes good.
That's Brian sometimes will go, "You going to eat that cornbread?"
I have been known to maybe ask.
Robbie and he's never said that in his life.
Other than when I'm at Restaurant Tyler.
That's correct.
So there you go. If you want to have a great lunch today, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you manage your money and invest, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to somebody who knows you the same way they know your money, a banker that provides the level of service you're only going to get with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I feel like this is a time for healing. I feel like there's too much of this, you know, oh, we won. And I think we should just all talk about, I'm not, as you know, if you listen to this show, I'm not real big on the whole family, you know, thing. I'm not.
Family.
I'm not big on it. You know, I always say the same thing, that there's two things that are true right here. One, if we woke up tomorrow and Blake Shapen and Devon Booth and those guys were all in Oxford, and Austin Simmons and Sunteren Perkins were here, we would love those guys and hate the other ones that we just hate, that we loved the day before. So, you know, family is family. This is something different. But at the same time, I feel like there's been a lot of pitting of fans against the administration, against the university, against the athletic department, however it wants, as a result of these logo wars. As we know, yesterday, Mississippi State put out a tweet and basically announced that the interlocking Mississippi State helmet is back. It's available for selection in every game this year. I don't know if it's obviously not going to be in every game. There will be some games with the state script. But it's back. And to me, it kind of had the feeling of what you would call like a soft opening. Like, I think next year, the interlocking is the primary helmet and the script are the alternates. This year, it feels like the interlocking is the alternate. But what I want to say is, and I think Robbie agrees with me, is that we got to get past this idea of fighting with Mississippi State over this and embrace the fact that Zach Selman has shown time and time again that he will listen to his fans, that he listens to his – if you want to call them fans, if you want to call them customers, if you want to call them stakeholders, whatever it is, Zach Selman at the top of the athletic department, he's listening, and he's putting plans into action to make things better for Mississippi State. Yesterday, Bulldog fans, by and large, were winners.
Yeah, I think everybody's a winner from this because you look at the selection you have, and it's everything that we've fought for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. We wanted the state script more prominently in place. Then we found out the interlocking was a possibility. We wanted the interlocking in there. It's kind of the best of both worlds right now, and I don't know where this ultimately ends. I think it's a very delicate situation because, let's be honest, there's you have people that want certain things at positions of power, and that includes Zach Selman, who's been trying to brand the state script. And we've joked about the marketing degrees and all that stuff, but there is something to the fact you need to get around something and push it. If you're in marketing, you get behind something, you push it, and that's what you want to be recognized as. So it's very delicate, and the people involved in those conversations are talking about, like, we just got this. Why are we doing this now? And why would we want to do this for football and this for baseball? And this, like, I understand the people that say that. But at the end of the day, what we're seeing right now is Mississippi State in general is wanting to do something for the fans. And that's the only thing that you and I have ranted about over the last 3 years is you've got to do something for this fan base. You've got to show them that you're listening, show them that you care. And what we've seen is LED lights. They've adjusted some things of basketball. They've given people what they want at basketball. They're giving you logos that you love that are near and dear to your heart. They are doing what they can to compromise with the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's going to be the permanent logo right now, I don't know. I doubt it will.
Yeah.
Long term, we'll see. This year, you and I have talked about they need to just go ahead and slap it on there. I don't think that's going to be the case. And we know for a fact they're going to have state script for the blackout. So it's definitely not going to be the case. But
and I think that this first game with USM, I feel like that's going to be an all-white game. And since they have said the snowball helmet is for the Tennessee game, I'm almost positive this first game they'll wear white skate script helmets.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's fine too. But I think the great thing is they didn't just throw this logo back in the closet and lock the door. They're giving you a taste of it. Now, we're going to see it for at least two games. I'm hearing more than that. I think we'll see it four or five times possibly. Mm-hmm. It just depends. But when that happens, it's going to be very difficult. I'm just warning the people in charge. When you give these people a taste and you give Brian and I a taste, it's not, you can hold us back for a little bit, but next year, if that thing isn't slapped on the helmet full time, we're coming back full bore.
We'll have to reassess.
But for now, I think
when we get new info, we change our minds.
That's correct. For now, though, you have an administration, and I think the university has got to get some credit here too. Now, I mean, we've created this battle between the university and athletics.
Yeah.
Well, they're both working together on this because there's a lot of things that you can't do in athletics without the approval of the university, and that's everywhere, by the way. It's not just a place that's roaming free. I mean, it's under a giant name at the end of the day. You're representing Mississippi State University, but they're all working together on this. I think they have a great relationship, especially Zach Selman and Mark Keenum. And I think that they are doing what they can here to compromise what, you know, three or four years ago was something that would have never happened. The reason we pushed the state script initially was because we didn't feel like the interlocking was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
They did the interlocking for the brought it out of the vault. When that happened, you opened up a whole can of worms. So whoever didn't want that to happen, you should have never let that happen in the first place, because now it's out, buddy, and we know that it's available. I'm just glad it's here. I'm glad we have an opportunity to see it on the helmet again, and everybody should be happy, and we'll see where it goes from there. But it's great for now.
I think I agree with you. I think for sure, we're going to see, obviously we know we're going to see it for Tennessee. I would be pretty shocked if we didn't see it at the Egg Bowl.
Yeah.
That would definitely be a spot. And then
The traditional maroon
maroon
helmet,
white.
maroon jersey, white pants,
That is
which we just
exactly
never see anymore.
right. That needs to be it.
And
Something.
Ole Miss will be wearing blue helmets, white jerseys,
It'll be
and
as traditional an Egg Bowl look as
yep.
we can have.
It'll look great.
I wanted to ask you about something. You talked about the Arizona State game or the black uniforms, I guess. State has not made that official that that's for that game, right? Is that correct? I know that
Hey,
we were thinking it was going that way, but they have not, the same way they did with Tennessee. Like, you know that that's going to be the interlocking white helmet. We have not seen an official thing that says it's Arizona State, correct?
I don't think it's official yet. That's what I've heard, is it's going to be for Arizona State, but I don't think they've officially announced that yet. I think it's still up in the air a little bit. So we'll see what they choose to do there, but I love those uniforms, by the way. I think they look awesome.
Yeah, I think they look great. I think I.
I think that's the best State Strip helmet they've had. I don't know if it's the matte look to it or if it's the black, but to me, that's the best looking State Strip helmet.
That uniform, that's State's best all black uniform they've put together.
I think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we could go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to speak in general about all this. I know that football is not right at the moment, and there's a lot they have to do there, but it just feels like there's a lot of momentum with Mississippi State right now, when this time last year, like, there was just nothing to be excited about. You didn't really know where things were headed with NIL. Zach Selman had not really proven anything at that point. There were some legitimate concerns that people brought up about Selman, and if he was going to be able to be a big time athletic director inside the SEC and take Mississippi State to the next level in a very scary time in college athletics. And in just like a year's time, like, it just seems like he's made a ton of progress, whether it be relations with the fans, raising money, facilities. He made the best coaching hire, arguably, in Mississippi State sports history. Like, there's so much momentum with Mississippi State and Starkville in general right now. As we speak, we're waiting an announcement, a big time announcement for some development in Starkville that I think is going to be a game changing deal for Mississippi State and the city of Starkville. You have future plans for some big stuff at the football stadium. There's a lot of stuff happening right now that's just really good news that I think is taking Mississippi State into a new dimension. And it like I'm just thinking about the future and also the present. Mississippi State desperately needs to keep Zach Selman. Like, whatever it takes. I know if Oklahoma wants him, he's probably going, because that place is home to him. He's got a legacy there. If that's who they want, that's who they're probably going to get. But for Mississippi State's sake, they desperately need Zach Selman here for the duration. And I think he's done some good things here. I think Mississippi State's been good to him. He's been good to Mississippi State. He's building good relationships here. If you can survive that, I think you could keep him here for a little bit. And
This
they
is
need
the
that
one job,
consistency.
right? This is the job. Like if Oklahoma goes another way, Zach Selman's going to be here for a little while.
Yeah.
If they don't, then yeah, you're going to be right back into it. I think that one thing that I would like to believe is that Selman's success proves the point that when we talked about when he was hired, that State needed to go outside the maroon and white bubble to get an athletic director, to get some new ideas, to get some fresh perspective. I would say to do that again. I know there's one guy on campus that if they bumped up Terry Prentice, I'm not going to be mad about that. But outside of that, I would like to see them once again kind of go that same route. Go to a big-time program in Alabama, an Ohio State, a Michigan, and find one of their number two guys and bring them in. That seems to be the path to success. We talked about the things that the university is doing for the fans. I don't think it can be understated how much better, you know, the social media has been recently. And, you know, that was a big to-do on signing day when they let that whole team go. You can't say they didn't have it coming, that Mississippi State fans, by and large, throughout football season were underwhelmed at what was being put out there. And then you have the signing day debacle where the guys aren't even tweeting anything. There's nothing going on. And the situation they put out there, what they put out there was it was subpar. There's just no getting around that. But our guys, Brady and John and Lance over there, they have done a fantastic job. Yesterday's video was funny. It was cool. They've been putting out great content from preseason camp. But that's just – you can't do big things well if you don't do little things well. That's something that any successful person knows, right? You know, you can't take care of the big picture when you aren't taking care of the little details. State right now, I think, is doing a good job with the little details. So it tends to make me think that the big stuff is going to be taken care of as well. And as you kind of talked about, you know, baseball and basketball, your Olympic sports, they're all in a really good spot right now at Mississippi State. But football is the window that everybody looks out of. So once football gets going again, people are going to look at this in a much different light than they do right now. So that's why there's pressure on Lebby and Hutzler and all those guys to get it done this year and get back into winning football games. Because once you do that, we're going to have to stretch to find things to complain about here on Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah, and you and I, like, as negative as people think we are, that's not what we want. Mm-hmm. We don't seek out negativity. We are perfectly happy when we're happy. And it's kind of like, you know, we tell people all the time when there's something positive to talk about, we're going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. When people come after us for being negative, we hardly ever see those people whenever we're talking positively about stuff. And it's kind of like this social media thing. We discussed that a lot last year about Mississippi State's presentation. It just wasn't up to snuff. They were missing the mark on everything. They got that right. And they just went and got people that were already here, that were already doing really good things here. Mm-hmm. They just went and got those people and brought them over to football. And that's the product that needs to be promoted at the highest level. So they went and got the best mm-hmm. that you had on campus. And Brady is the best. Mm-hmm. And John is the best graphics guy. And Lance has done a really good job as well coming up for the media relations. And, mm-hmm. He came same route I did, up in the media relations and now working for the university and doing social media. John, these are, you know, lifelong Bulldog fans. Brady right. was brought in from UAB, but, you know, John and Lance, it means something to him. It meant right. something to Bryce Mitchell when he was doing mm-hmm. graphics for Mississippi State as well.
He's the one guy from that group that I thought did a great job.
Yeah, I think he just kind of –
he got caught up in the
guilty by association.
Yeah, exactly. But,
so, like, I definitely don't want to diminish his work because I thought he did good work.
Yeah.
But the videos and the presentation this year is night and day. It looks like an SEC football team. It looks like they're producing it like an SEC football team should be produced. We have people that are national sports writers commenting on just a helmet preview video talking about how cool it was. And I, you know, it's just like you, that's how people see you from the outside world. You have to have that presentation, and Mississippi State is getting those things right. But it was kind of the false perception of Zach Selman is that he wasn't getting anything done. I think Zach Selman was kind of sitting back, surveying the land, looking at things that they needed to improve, and then addressing them one by one. Mm-hmm. So now you see him in year three here, and things are getting done. It's because he didn't rush to judgment and he didn't just run in and start making all these changes and things like that. He went around, he saw other places. He went to other venues and talked to a bunch of people around college sports. And that's where they started to really start to make some changes. And now you're seeing all that stuff fall in line. If you get football right, this athletic department is going to take off. Starkville's going to take off. The university is going to take off.
Agreed.
That is what has got to get right because baseball is in good shape. Basketball is in really good shape. You got all these other sports that are, the Olympic sports and the things that are non-revenue that I think are in really great shape. Soccer, tennis, softball. You're good just about everywhere.
Yeah.
Football is what is going to make Mississippi State take off.
Yeah.
And there's so many things happening in Starkville that's really changing the perception of this place. The athletic department is in a good spot. You've got to get football right. And if you do that, you're talking about a game changer for this university that we've never seen.
We'll have some more to talk about tomorrow as far as, like you mentioned, some of these things happening around Starkville, some major announcements today. We're just recording early today because I got to get down to Hattiesburg for the, as you're listening, for the fall camp, the not fall camp tour starting this afternoon, 3 o'clock on Wednesday down there. So got to record early, but we will have plenty to talk about tomorrow on Thunder and Lightning regarding these huge announcements in for the city of Starkville and the university. All right, let's move into an opponent preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find smoked Southern soul food. It's only 9 in the morning, but I'm starving. I'm hungry.
Yes.
I got up at 6 this morning so I could go for my walk because I knew I was had some stuff to do this morning, and I am starving. I could go for some Two Brothers Smoked Meats even at this time of the morning. I'm just saying, if they're listening, a barbecue breakfast wouldn't be the worst idea we ever had in our life. I'm just throwing that out there. So to
Ooh.
a barbecue brunch.
What could we go with? Steak and eggs?
Steak and eggs, pulled pork omelet.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fine.
Yeah, sure. You could do, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff we can come up with. I'm just throwing it out there. That's all I'm doing. But until then, for lunch and for dinner, Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the older brother, right there in the Cotton District. Two great places to go eat here in Starkville. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
It did, brother.
When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. When you need a new copier or a new printer, new computers, new laptops, whatever it is, because not only are you going to get that great product at a great price, you're also going to get service after the sale. And when you buy a piece of technology, that's what you got to have. You got to know that, hey, if this thing starts acting up, I can make one phone call and they can fix it quickly. That's what Advantage Business Systems has been promising and delivering on for 50 years. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Again, if you're looking for interlocking gear and you're here in Starkville, the place to go is Maroon & Co. They have an incredible selection of everything maroon and white under one roof. Hats, polos, pullovers, hoodies, t-shirts, sweatshirts, whatever it is. If it's maroon and white, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code to save yourself a little money. Thunder 15 will take 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions, they do apply. Before you head to Davis Wade Stadium this season, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. If you're going to be out in the yard this weekend, you need some John Deere power at your back, go talk to our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. They've got everything you're looking for: commercial mowers, compact tractors, gators. What does your property need? They've got it. And it doesn't just stop with what you're driving around out there. They've got edgers, mowers, push mowers. They've got leaf blowers. They've got, what do you need to do in your yard this weekend? Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden has the tool for you. Go see them today. Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. All right, let's get into this interview and then Robbie and I will come back with it. I talked earlier to Brad Denny from 3TV, CBS 5, and the Speak of the Devil podcast out there in Tempe. We had him on last year, brought him back. Let's get his thoughts on Mississippi State versus Arizona State and what the Sun Devils are bringing to Starkville. We're talking about Arizona State on the opponent preview. That means we're not too far from the start of the college football season. Brad Denny, kind enough to join us again. Speak of the Devil podcast, 3TV, CBS5 out there in the Valley of the Sun. And, Brad, you know, we go back a year having you on this podcast, and we talked about, hey, this is Arizona State team. They should be, you know, improved, and they should be exciting. Neither one of us thought when we were talking in mid-August that was going to be a college football playoff team. What was that ride like for you covering this team?
It was pretty wild. You know, I've seen a lot. I've covered this team since 2011, so there's been far more lows than highs. There's been some impressive moments, but yeah, I thought ASU was going to be good, or at least better than that first kind of really injury-plagued season that Kenny Dillingham had to deal with. They made some under-the-radar moves, and they had, you know, but they were betting on, you know, is Sam Levitt going to be the guy? You know, how is this you know, scrappy running back going to turn out? But everything kind of just fell into place. And kind of in retrospect, you know, the team culture that was kind of jumped out a little bit in fall camp and over that offseason, it really came to the forefront and just kind of being a way that this team was in like one score games, it seemed like every week, but somehow, some way, found a way to win. And, you know, everybody, you know, even the coaches that I've talked to, it's been like, yeah, they're like, no one expected this level of success this soon. And so, but what kind of jumped out to me is like during that ride and just as the, especially the back half of the season, as those big wins came and all of a sudden there's a birth in the conference title game, then the birth in the playoff, a bye no less. It was just like this team kind of like about the two-thirds of the way through the season, like a switch flipped. Like they weren't just kind of surprised and happy to be there. They kind of felt like, okay, no, this is what we've earned. And I think that really helped power them a little bit. And you know, obviously things are setting up to be a narratively quite different heading into this year.
Well, you mentioned the word power. Cam Scataboo's name will immediately come to mind. Dominated Mississippi State a season ago. Arizona State on the ground in that game was absolutely unstoppable. And I remember talking to you about that game. And, you know, I said, from Mississippi State perspective, you've got to put this game into Sam Levitt's hands. You can't let Scataboo beat you. That's exactly what they did, and beat them they did. Now he's off to the NFL. Who's the first guy up to try to replace what have got to be some massive shoes there?
Yeah, that's really been kind of the big question, especially kind of externally on a national basis. And people just see, you know, Scat, you know, being, you know, taking nothing away. I mean, he last year just rewrote the record books and just did so much and was off the field, was just as instrumental in terms of being a voice, a leader, the heart of that team. But I think some folks maybe just see that his absence, not see what actually is back. I'm actually pretty bullish. For the first time in maybe 8-9 years, they're probably going to be heading in with a by committee approach. Kyson Brown was Scat's number two a season ago. I'm really impressed with this kid. I mean, he's a really smart, smart player. He's in the Honors College here, but he runs with power, runs with speed. He fits kind of that all-around, all-purpose back that teams want. But I don't, you know, I think he could handle a load and maybe not get to the heights that Scat did. But I don't think he's going to have to. They have Relique Brown returning, who was pretty much out all last season with injury. Former five-star recruit, USC signee, played a little bit, but he's kind of the lightning to the Kyson Brown's thunder component. If he can stay healthy, they've been using him.
That's some gimmick infringement with this podcast here. We can't have that.
He's been a real explosive guy. Also add a little bit, and then I think some of the national folks see that Kanye Udo came off 1,100-yard season, 10 touchdowns a season ago for Army. In spring, it took him a little bit, you know, going from that triple option to a more modern offense. But he's looked really good in fall camp. So I think we're going to see for the first time in a while, the offense really kind of really a by committee approach. And it's interesting that all three of the backs kind of present a little bit of something different. And offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo has been really, really kind of happy and kind of almost borderline giddy in terms of like the way he's able to kind of deploy these guys instead of just having, you know, one guy, obviously, you know, a guy who put a great season together, but not necessarily one guy that he has to shoulder the load of the ground game.
And then from a passing perspective, I think this should be take a big step forward. Sam Levitt to me is one of the top returning quarterbacks in college football. Jordan Tyson looks like a first rounder coming into the season. Is this an Arizona State offense you think could see itself maybe evolve a little bit more as a passing threat?
Absolutely. And I think that's going to be part of the reason why the run game won't necessarily have to be, you know, as productive in terms of, you know, replacing Scat, because I think, you know, obviously Jordan or Sam Levitt is getting a lot of, you know, praise, a lot of first round projections, some Heisman buzz a little bit. You mentioned Jordan Tyson. I believe today earlier was an AP first team All-American selection, and that combination is going to be really good again. But I think the big question for the pass game is like, all right, what else? Because last year ASU kind of got by with Jordan Tyson being the clear go-to guy, and then some scraps for some other stuff. I think deep now coming into this season, defenses are going to see that Scat's not there anymore, and they're going to maybe try to put a little bit more pressure and maybe roll those coverages over Jordan Tyson's way. So I think one of the more interesting things for me in the passing game is how are the other receivers and the tight end group going to factor in. One guy that I really think is going to play a key role is an Alabama transfer, Jaron Hamilton. He has been lights out in fall camp, probably the overall team MVP, which is saying something with a team with like Jordan Tyson and the Sam Levitts of the world. But he presents an element in terms of with his speed that I think ASU's offense kind of lacked a little bit. And especially after Jordan Tyson went down with an injury late last year, the real dynamic kind of shifted. And thankfully, Scat was superhero then. But I think that's going to be big. The tight end group is pretty deep as well. Shamar Mateer was an all Big 12 selection, second team a year ago. They added Kamari Anderson from Kentucky. He has been really impressive at adding a more athletic element. So you're probably going to see an offense that's using some more 12 personnel, but with having the ability to have another receiver not named Jordan Tyson be an actual threat DCs have to worry about could be some where Sam Levitt's able to take that next step.
As good as Arizona State was on the offensive side of the ball in the game against Mississippi State last year, they were even better on the defensive side of the ball, especially on the line of scrimmage. I think State only 20 yards rushing, something like that. It was a ridiculous number, and it played a big role in why State didn't win the game. They just could not move the chains on the ground. What about this Arizona State defense coming into this season? What do they look like?
So the offense is getting a lot of the hype and the publicity, but honestly, I think the defense is going to be the strength of this team. Pretty much everybody not named Shamari Simmons is back. They added some other key pieces to address some depth issues. It kind of starts up front. I think the run defense is going to be really good again. They got a budding star in CJ Fight who had some all Big 12 honors. He's looked really good. The one issue that I think plagued ASU's defense a season ago was the lack of a pass rush, just 24 sacks over the course of the entire season. I think the talent level was much higher than their actual production. Their top four edges have really transformed their bodies. Kenny Dillingham's raved about them a few times in fall camp, just how impressed he is in terms of their dedication. You have Clayton Smith, the former five-star Oklahoma transfer. Justin Watley, the Cincinnati transfer, I think has really been super impressive to me. They have real depth there, but we'll actually see if that ultimately translates to better success in the pass rush. I think at linebacker, they're pretty good. Jordan Crook and Keyshawn Elliott are the two names to know there. They'll be the presumed starters in the 4-2-5. Both have been in their second year of the defense. They've been looking more fluid. The back end, I think, is really solid. They returned both their starting safeties, starting corners. The big question is Shamari Simmons, who was kind of the Scat equivalent on the defense, the heart and soul, the unsung playmaker. Folks saw in the Peach Bowl, he unfortunately had to miss the first half due to a targeting call in the Big 12 title game, but in Texas had some fun. And that second half, he comes in immediately, forces get in on that safety. He's gone. So that's been one of the key battles of camp is how that's going to be replaced. They have a youngster, Montana Warren, they really like. They brought in a veteran, Kendrick Breedlove from Purdue. That's been a battle. We'll see how that's going to play out. But overall, I think this defense has a chance to be pretty good.
So top-notch QB, top-notch receiver, 1,100-yard transfer running back. And then you mentioned the defense bringing back all this talent. It feels like Arizona State is poised to make another run at the Big 12 championship. I like talking about the Big 12 because I feel like it's such a crapshoot. Everybody can probably have a chance to win. I mean, Arizona State was picked last year and ended up winning it and had Texas on the ropes there. How big is this game in Starkville for Arizona State? It feels like last year that game was a little bit of a launching pad for them. It got people talking about Arizona State. If they go 2-0 against an SEC team, even to a team like Mississippi State that's down right this second, it feels like that could also be another thing that they should be a top 10 team when they arrive in Starkville. They could be off and running with another win.
Yeah, I think it's low-key a very important game for the Devils. Yeah, I think so. Some folks might just see, Mississippi State, being, a program that's, finding its footing. But It's going to, I mean, this is an SEC opponent on the road. It's going to be a big time test, and, presumably a pretty raucous atmosphere. So, ASU had some problems on the road to start off last year. They had to make a pretty big rally at Texas State. Then their first conference road trip to Texas Tech didn't go too well. And, those were some things that ultimately got ironed out as over the course of the season. But yeah, I think this is going to be a really important game just for a lot of these pieces. And then, after the opener against Northern Arizona, how is this team going to respond to hype? Yeah, you mentioned it. The narrative has been well worn at this point of just this team came in and shocked the world last year. Well, now they're the team with the target on their backs. So how are they going to be able to respond against, another power four opponent? That's, where no matter where they rank in the SEC, that's still an SEC roster. So it's going to be a real stern test on the road. And I think we're going to learn a lot about how this 2025 group of Sun Devils is able to kind of pick up from where the 24 is left off.
It really is a big game for Arizona State. It's a massive game for Mississippi State. If they want to show that they've improved this year, they need to be able to win this game at home. I don't know that they'll be able to do that. This is a very good Arizona State team coming to Starkville for the second half of this series after last year's game in Tempe. Brad Denny, Speak of the Devil podcast. Always appreciate your time, man. I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks when we're actually talking about this game happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, we definitely got to get you on the show as well to talk some Bulldogs.
Let me know. Talk to you later, man.
Have a good one.
There's been a lot of talk on the message board the past few days about this game, and some people say that you're putting too much emphasis on it, that you can lose this game and still be fine, and so on. I disagree entirely with that. I don't agree at all. I think if you lose this game, you've got to find a way to win three SEC games if you want to go to a bowl. And that's going to be a really tough task when you look at this schedule. Winning two is going to be tough because once you get past Arkansas, there's not one that just stands out as winnable for Mississippi State. Winning three, now we're saying if you went to win three games, you've got to beat, let's say you beat Arkansas, right? And let's just pick another one. I'm not real big on Florida, right? Now, by the way, those are both road games for Mississippi State. So I've got State two wins on the road. So now I've got to find another win from Tennessee, Texas A&M, Texas, Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss. Three wins in that, and out of that is tough. I think this Arizona State game is absolutely massive. Once you, State has the two biggest games for the week one, week two. I don't know if anybody in the conference who has a bigger week one, week two than Mississippi State if they want to get anywhere this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is possible to get to 5 wins or 6 wins or whatever, losing to Arizona State, but it's just very, very difficult. It gets you so much closer to accomplishing that goal, not just because it's literally winning a game, but you beat a team that is going to be inside the top 12 or whatever, and that was a playoff team last year. The confidence you gain from that is huge. So it's just really important if Mississippi State wants to get to that point that they win that game. And getting off to a good start, it's not just like beating Arizona State, it's you're getting off to a good start this season after only winning two games last year. At
Yeah.
that point, if you start 2-0,
It
you've
changes your
reached the win
perception.
total. It's a perception thing, yeah.
If State's
Because you start to, whether or not Mississippi State finishes with 6, 7 wins or whatever at that point, it's kind of irrelevant because you're getting back into the conversation. People start to talk about, okay, Jeff Lebby has got things moving in the right direction.
And we're smart enough to realize that if State's 2-0, they're likely going to be 4-0. Right. If you beat Arizona State, look, I still would say that, look, you don't overlook Northern Illinois. Don't, after what happened last year, don't overlook them. Not only did you lose to a MAC team, but they beat Notre Dame. You can't just say gimme game, but you should be a heavy favorite to be 4-0 when you host Tennessee on that massive college football Saturday. You should have a huge crowd here in Starkville. Everything starts moving in the right direction if you beat Arizona State. If you lose to them and you're 3-1 playing that game, there's just going to be a lot of, we'll wait and see. We'll see what happens. Maybe they can, you don't inspire the belief at with the loss to Arizona State. Beating Arizona State inspires belief in this fan base that Jeff Lebby has got this thing going in the right direction.
Yeah, and they gotta have that.
They got to
They
have that.
gotta have a buy-in.
I'm fascinated to see what Arizona State looks like, because they weren't. It's not that they were just so one dimensional last year. They were able to throw the football. Levitt's a really good quarterback. Tyson's a really good receiver. I think they could be more of a passing team this year because, you know, I think they have good backs. The Army transfer, you know, who rushed for 1,100 yards last year, he'll be fine, but he's not Scataboo. I think we're going to look back in like a decade, and Cam Scataboo is going to be like one of those guys that just sort of transcends the game a little bit. Like, we're talking about him as one of the all-time greats. He was a fascinating player to watch last year. For me, though, this game comes down to one thing. This is one of the two games last year where I thought the State lost the game because of their offense. This one and the Egg Bowl were the ones the State could not run the football in this game. They were down 30-3 at one point. They started putting some things together, and when Arizona State kind of backed off a little bit, they ran the ball for, what, 20 yards in this game total? That has to change this year. State has got to be able to run the football in this Arizona State team. If they don't, they're going to lose, and it's going to be a long season.
And they're going to have to do that against everybody.
Yeah.
I think the rushing attack is going to be the difference in the season for Mississippi State. If they cannot – and you mentioned yesterday, like, yards per carry.
Mm-hmm.
What's that number look like? If that could tell you a lot about this team. If they're consistently picking up 5-6 yards a carry with their running backs, it's going to be a good offensive season, I think. But if they're struggling to get that and they're running the football 38 times for, you know, 80-something yards, that's a problem. They're going to have to be able to establish the run game early, and especially in this game, and open up the passing game for some one-on-ones down the field with your playmakers. Because I just don't think you have, like, a whole lot of alphas out there at wide receiver.
Agreed.
And, you know, we were high on Kevin Coleman coming in last year, but I don't think I anticipated him having the season that he did.
We thought Akari was going to be that guy.
Yeah. So it is entirely possible that another Kevin Coleman emerges from this group.
Statistically, that's going to happen. There's going to be a guy catch 70 passes.
Well, if you look at Brennan Thompson, you know, people are like, he's not in the same realm or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Brennan Thompson had, I think, 7 fewer catches than Kevin Coleman did at Louisville
mm-hmm.
last year at Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And the yardage wasn't that far off. Kevin Coleman did not have impressive numbers as a wide receiver coming into Mississippi State.
Yeah, he was good.
He had over 300-something yards at Louisville.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible that someone emerges.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just not available to us that's going to happen. But I think the best way that happens for Mississippi State is that you take pressure off of that group by running the football, bringing a defense in, and hitting big plays.
Right.
That's how this offense works.
We're going to see it happen. I think this Arizona State game is absolutely massive. I think everybody who's like underselling it, and I'm not trying to sit there and tell you that I think State's going to win it. I'm just saying that State needs to win it. They need to win it. People underselling this game, I don't agree with that at all. Next week's opponent preview will be the opponent they're playing at the end of the week. We've made it. We've done it. Tomorrow is our Friday show. 7 days after that will be our 3Ps for the first time this year. I'm looking forward to that.
Lock in. I have to get ready mentally and physically.
We're almost there. We're almost there. So, guys, have a great Thursday. Robbie and I back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.